So thanks to Wyatt and thanks to the worship team. Grateful for that. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. There's a lot of scripture today, a lot of it that we're not actually going to be reading. It's referenced in your notes. You notice that your notes are two-sided. Basically, one side is for filling out, the other side is for information. As many of you know, this is kind of the anniversary. It was a year ago, a very sad time when Dad passed, but we know where he's at, and he's not sad at all right now. He's rejoicing in heaven. I don't think he's paying much attention to what we're doing this morning, but if he were, I know he'd want me to tell you some dumb jokes, because there's one thing that my dad remembered about a sermon. It was whether or not I told a joke and if it was funny. And I don't know if he listened to the rest of it, but he had that. And so I have a couple of just things that I know he would appreciate. And one of the things is, you know, growing up in Kansas, you all saw different kinds of bugs. But in Northwest, you see these more often. You see snails every once in a while, especially over in Oregon, right? Anybody have snails crawling around their garden? Have you ever seen two snails fighting? And you know what to do if two snails are fighting. You know the steps you're going to take if you see two snails going at it. You just let them slug it out. That's it. That's it. That's all you have to do. It was funny. Funnier in my head than a lot of people don't know that somebody broke into our house the other night, and I got up, and the guy was looking for money, and so I helped him try to find some. Because I didn't know. I didn't know if there was something that he knew that I didn't know. Yeah. And I think that's all I got for you this morning. I think we'll stop over here.
It's not
basketball season yet. We're getting close. Again, a slide for you. What do these people have in common? So top left, you got a guy named James, James Runner. At the bottom left, you have Todd and Chandra. You have then the lady with the kids next to them is JC. Above her is Alex. The guy stuck in the playground equipment is a special guy. His name's Jake. Next to him, the guy holding the osprey bird is Jay. And then the lady on the far right is Brenda. What do they all have in common? A wild guess. They're related? No. It's from my past. This was my old soccer team. And I should have brought the championship t-shirt to show you, because this was a good soccer team, and it was a co-ed soccer team, and these were some really good players. I want to ask you this question. What did you used to be good at, speaking of soccer? Because I used to be good at soccer. I used to play all the time, and in about 2015, I had to hang up my cleats because it was time to start doing other things. And I went back and tried to play again. And if you've gone to the Mexico mission trip, you've seen me try again, and you're like, that doesn't look like anybody who knows what he's doing. Well, it looks like he once upon a time knew what he was doing, but anymore his body does not cooperate. What did you used to be good at that you are no longer good at? Kids, you don't get to participate because you got to get old first. So I want to hear some answers. This isn't a rhetorical question. What did you used to be good at that you're no longer good at? Apparently you're good at everything.
No.
Cooking. Wow, I didn't know you could lose that skill. Greg, I reject the offer to come over for dinner, and unless Curtis is barbecuing.
Running.
Money?
Running.
Money. Well, I would say money, yeah. Back when our parents paid us and we didn't have to pay bills. Running? Yeah. It's interesting when you lose something like that, you lose a skill, and then you try to gain it back, how difficult it is to gain something back. So if you used to be good at running and then you stopped and then you try starting again, then your body will tell you that that's not a good idea. And it'll tell you in many, many different ways. My knee is doing some interesting things this week because I'm trying to get in better shape. And you say, Chris, you're already in really good shape. Yeah. You shouldn't laugh. That wasn't a joke. but here's some people that are inspiring just in case you've lost the skill and you want to get it back. Yeah? You know this lady, Edwina? You know Edwina? She's a triathlete. 76 years old, doing triathlons, which means three sports, I think. And she said, I didn't do any exercise at all until I was 50 years old. I remember trying out for the long jump team at university for a laugh, and I couldn't move for 2 weeks afterwards. So that was the end of my athletics career. And then I had three children. I was busy with my job, and life went on. It was after her husband passed. She didn't know what to do with her grief, and so one day she ran. And she just found that helped a little. So then she kept running. And then she realized, hey, exercise actually helps me. And so she kept going and going. So she's a triathlete at the age of 76.
Wow.
That is a little bit older than me. This lady has been surfing all her life, and she still surfs. If you go out and to the beach area that she's at, you will see her out there, even though she is 73 years old. And she's not just like, you know, like you see those beginner surfers that are just catching the little waves. No, she goes for the big waves. And so she continues to do that to this day. And this guy is the oldest marathon runner ever. You know how old he is? 108. He's 108 years old. He did not start running until he was 89. Right?
All right, Rich.
Yeah, there's still time. There's still time. He has all these records for running these marathons, and he continued to run them until he reached 100. Now he still runs, but not competitively. But if you look up age bracket records, this dude has them, and I would try to pronounce his name, but I'm just going to say what it looks like. Vajra Singh. Is the name of it. So you can teach an old dog new tricks, and you can learn new things. That's going to bring us into our question. We've been looking at questions that you guys have asked after we finished the book of Romans. And the question has to do not with exercise, but kind of exercise. And this is the question that I was asked. Is it wrong if I can't fast because my diet and my health requires that I eat frequently? Is it wrong that I can't?
I asked that question.
You asked that question. And the answer was? They don't let you. It's because you're not a good cook anymore. She said it, not me. Is it wrong if I cannot fast because my health and my diet requires that I eat frequently? If you don't know what fasting is a discipline of traditionally going without food for an extended period of time. A traditional fast would end, you'd have dinners, let's say Tuesday night you had dinner, and you would not eat again until sundown the next day. So you go about 24 hours without. Another level of fast that's very common is to have dinner and not eat anything the whole next day until breakfast the following day. So fasting is going without food. And so it's something that is mentioned in the Bible frequently, and it's something that we understand, but we're gonna look at this question. And really what this question does is it opens up a whole lot of bigger questions. And the questions really come down to, let's ask this question first. What's the purpose of physical exercise and discipline? You guys answer. Besides pain. It's to get healthy, right? To get healthy, to have a healthy body, have a healthy life. So spiritual disciplines, we have physical exercise. What are spiritual disciplines? You might say physical discipline, spiritual discipline. What we see in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, and I want to invite you to read it with me. It says, "For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." So physical training is of some value. It'll help you live a healthier life. But godliness, which is a word that it connotates training and growing, has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Did you know that there are many, many different spiritual disciplines that you can do that will bring godliness and holiness into greater forefront in your life? Just as physical training helps the body grow healthy and strong, spiritual discipline or spiritual exercises are training your soul and training your heart. And what they do is they help your faith and your relationship with Jesus grow stronger and more effective. Let me ask you a dumb question. How many of you are completely satisfied with your relationship with the Lord? You say it's the best it could ever be right now, and there's no room for growth. Nobody's going to take me up on that, right? Your relationship can always grow deeper. And how do we grow deeper in our relationship? These are ways that we can grow deeper. And this is understanding in spiritual disciplines. And it sounds like something that might not be a very important or very exciting, but it's one of the most important things you can do. Because once you say yes to Jesus, then you want to keep growing. There are many, many of these spiritual disciplines, and they're rooted in Scripture. They're also rooted in church history. So on the back of your sermon notes is a list of the spiritual disciplines, not all of them, it's not an exhaustive list, but it's a list of many of them, along with scripture that goes with them and an explanation. But before we get to that, we got to understand, spiritual disciplines are methods for training for life in the kingdom of God. In other words, when you're going to work, you don't just want to be focused on the physical world you're in. You want to remember that you belong to the King of all kings and Lord of all lords, and that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. How do you do that on a consistent basis when you're surrounded by the world? We have to have discipline You have to have resilience within your heart. You have to have a relationship that is strong with the Lord. How do you have that? Spiritual disciplines is the answer. Would you read John 18:36 with me? Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Right? So physical training doesn't do much for your relationship with the Lord. It can help you some, but spiritual training is where it's at. Romans 12:2. Would you read that with me as well? "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Awesome passage, and that's actually the theme for our youth group this year. So as we go any further, there's a caution. There's a caution. I thought, well, let's get some signs so you take this seriously. I don't know if you can read the bottom line. "Caution, the sign has sharp edges. Do not touch the edges of the sign. Also, the bridge is out ahead." Right? Just so you take this caution seriously, I have four different caution signs for you. Danger, just danger. You should see that sign anywhere. Warning, you've been warned, and this is probably my favorite. "You're not allowed to do anything that begins with, 'Hey, y'all, watch this.'" Wyatt, that's talking to you. All right? There's a caution that, and this isn't a joke, this is serious. When we get into spiritual disciplines, there's a very big warning that we need to take very seriously. Because, let's just say it, if a person has not first said yes to Jesus, if you have not said yes to what God has done for you through Jesus, and then you try to do the spiritual disciplines, that can actually be counterproductive, and it can actually lead you into a very wrong path. It can lead you into a path of self-righteousness rather than righteousness that only comes from God through Jesus. So first of all, the most important thing when we talk about spiritual disciplines is, have you said yes to what God has done for you through Jesus? Do you understand that God sent Jesus to take your sin, to pay the price of it, the consequences, once for all sins you ever have, or ever will commit? He has taken care of the guilt of that so that sin can be dead. And then he rose from the dead. God raised him from the dead. So not only can you have victory over sin, but you can have victory over death. But that has to come to a moment where you leave behind your old life and say yes to what God has done for you and follow him into the new life. If you have not done that, then ignore everything else that I say. In fact, you can leave, you can go somewhere else, you can fall asleep, anything else. Important that first of all that you have said yes to what God has done for you through Jesus. If you've given your heart to Jesus, if you've taken that step to turn your life over to him, then the spiritual disciplines can be a well of life. Got that? Are we good? Just in case you don't get it, spiritual disciplines help us grow closer to the Lord of our heart. So it's important that Jesus is indeed Lord of your heart. That's the last of the cautions. You got it? Okay. All right, let's look at the spiritual disciplines. We're going to look through them. I know you can read, but let's look through them together and talk about each of them just a little bit. Here are a list of spiritual disciplines. Why do we have them listed here? Because it's important to know that there are many ways to grow in your relationship with the Lord. There's not just one. It's not just coming to church and hearing a sermon or worshiping. There are many ways. So let's look at them. Would you say the first word with me? It is celebration. Celebration, what is it? Well, celebration is what we're doing in our first couple songs. We're just celebrating what God has done. Celebrating is intentional focus on thanks and gratitude. You could spend a day, I don't know if you've ever tried this, but you could spend an entire day not asking God for anything, but simply praising him for everything. That is celebration. Celebration is intentionally thanking God and spending time doing that in a focused way. And it can be 10 minutes, it can be 10 hours, it can be 10 days. It doesn't matter the length of time. What matters is that your heart, rather than being burdened, is just saying thank you to God. Confession is the next one. Let's say it all together. Confession. Confession is a spiritual discipline. It's something that, one, is required in order to receive Jesus, but it's not something that is just a one-and-done thing. Did you know that the Bible calls us and encourages us to confess our sins to one another? To one another. It says it here in the Bible, and I don't have that verse right in front of me just yet, but it says it there in James chapter 5, verse 14. "Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make them well. The Lord will raise them up. if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. And then verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Did you know that the Bible encourages Christian brothers to share their burdens with each other, not just their prayer requests, but also to confess their sins? Why would he call us to do that? Because the truth will set you free. And the more you dwell in the truth and you share the truth and you let down that guard, you want to do this with people who are trusted brothers or trusted sisters. You want to do this carefully. But when you do that, remorsing over your sin, confessing your sins, and at the same time, receiving God's grace for it is huge. Third one, say it with me. It is fellowship. And everybody thinks potluck. Right? No. Intentional time connecting with other believers. That's a spiritual discipline. Not just casual time, not just, hey, I'm not doing anything else and I'm bored, so you want to go hang out? No, it's intentional time connecting with other believers in matters of faith. So it's intentionally calling somebody up to talk about life and Jesus together. That is fellowship, and that is a spiritual discipline that can deepen your relationship with the Lord, because Jesus is in that person, right? The Holy Spirit's in that person, the Holy Spirit's in you, and then as you two or three come together, the Lord is present with you. And we see that the early church was founded on this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. For just a moment, would you just look at somebody around you and tell them they are loved? Don't make it weird, it's fine. All right, still with me? Only 200 more to go. Okay, next one, fasting. Fasting, this is this question that came to us. Fasting is intentionally abstaining from something, often food, to focus on the spiritual. So it's intentionally disconnecting from something that's normally a physical part of your life. So food is something that most of you eat every day, correct? So when you do not eat food, you are saying instead of eating food, when I get hungry and when I normally would be eating food, I'm going to turn my attention to the bread of life. I turn my attention to Jesus. And so when my stomach tells me we should eat, instead I'm going to say we should pray. Right? And so fasting is this beautiful one, and it's one that's mentioned in Scripture the most because I think it is one of the more powerful ones and something that is very simple and straightforward. The question is, does it always have to be food? We'll look at that in a little bit. But fasting is intentionally abstaining from food or something else to focus on the spiritual. Disconnect from the physical to connect to the spiritual. Let's say the next one together, giving, generosity, and we're going to take another offering just to illustrate this one. Intentional giving to those in need or ministry. This is not, you're driving along the road and you see somebody with a sign and you feel guilty so you give money. That's not the same thing. This is intentional giving. It is intentional thought and giving in secret as best as you can, something Scripture advises to. You can read that in Matthew 6, 1 through 4. But it's an intentional giving of what you have to someone else. And how is that a spiritual discipline? Who is the biggest giver of all? Our Father. Father who gave, he loved so much that he gave his only son. So when we give, and we give when it hurts, and we do it in a way that costs us, and we do it intentionally, it is a way to connect our hearts to the heart of the Father who loves so much that he gave his one and only son. Meditation. You might think of a Far East type of religion, but meditation is mentioned throughout Scripture. And meditation is intentional time dwelling on Scripture or promise over and over again, just taking time and taking maybe the Lord's Prayer, maybe Psalm 23, maybe a phrase from Scripture, maybe do not let your hearts be troubled, but trust in God, trust also in me. Taking that and just dwelling on the Word of God, dwelling in prayer and letting it saturate all of who you are. That is what meditation is. And the Old Testament specifically has a lot of talk about meditation. It says in Psalm 119, I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Next one, and this is the one you're probably most familiar with, is the spiritual discipline of prayer. Why do we call them spiritual disciplines? Because they don't just come easy. It takes work. If you were going to try to get ready to run a marathon and you weren't in shape, it would not be easy, right? Because you would have to create physical discipline. Spiritual discipline isn't easy. Prayer isn't always easy. It should be, but we have an enemy, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Prayer is deliberate connection to the Lord. It's deliberate connection to Him, and it can go in many, many different ways. There are dozens of ways that prayer can be a different kind of spiritual discipline that can amplify all these others, but we're not going to go into that today. Service, connecting to Jesus through intentional use of resources, your time, your strength, etc., for the good of others. Romans 12, the entire chapter talks about this kind of attitude of the heart, is taking what God has done in me and for me and using it, pouring it out for the good of others, similar to generosity, but service is using my physical strength or my physical resources to help others. And then this next one, you may not be familiar with it, but let's say it together, simplicity. Simplicity is intentionally having less to be free. Quakers, Friends, the denomination, their root back hundreds of years ago, one of the main things that they tried to persevere in was to live a simple life. You've seen Quaker Oats, right? And you see the outfit the guy's wearing? It's actually would have been very gray, very bland, very plain, because they didn't want to be adorned in worldly beauty. They wanted the beauty of their hearts to be the most thing, their relationship with the Lord. So they tried to live as simple as a life as possible to disconnect from the world in order to connect with the Lord. Solitude. Now, husbands, you are not allowed to use this as an excuse, but solitude is intentional withdrawal from others and distractions. This is intentional withdrawal from others and distractions. So it's important that we understand solitude. Jesus often went to lonely places and prayed. Solitude is getting away from all the world in order to go to be with Jesus. It's not just getting away from people because you're an introvert. It's getting away from the world so you can get connected to the Lord of all. With me? Are you asleep yet? You're working. This is hard work. You're doing a spiritual discipline now, and I'll explain why. Study. Let's all say it together. Study. Study is anytime you open up the Word and read it, but specifically when you intentionally explore and devote yourself to reading the Scripture. And you should do this every single day. I think of all the spiritual disciplines, it is the easiest to begin. Prayer and Scripture reading are these. Why does Rich talk about the Bible and the history of it week after week? So that you can know when you open it, you can trust it. But I started reading the Bible when I was these guys' age, when I was in high school. And I just started reading, and I don't know why. That's just what the Spirit led me to do. And so I'd read two or three chapters a day, and then just kept reading. And I still am reading to this day. And I still haven't learned all that there is to learn. Why? Because it is the Word of God. It is living and active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It can change you. And so study is intentionally connecting with the Word of God. Submission. Submission is an interesting one that you have to be careful with, because it is something you're only choosing for yourself and you're choosing specifically. Submission is intentional defeat of pride through humility. It's intentionally lowering yourself down and putting yourself at a servant level to identify with Christ who came to serve us. It is the washing of another's feet, as Jesus said we should do. Not, you don't have to literally take off their shoes and wash their feet, but you understand symbolically that was a very, very humble thing to do. Years ago, I gave everybody in church that day a toilet brush, and we talked about this thing. Anybody still have their toilet brush? Yes. You had it on your wall for a while. And I said, put it on your wall. It's a symbol of Christ washing our feet. If somebody showed up at your house and started scrubbing your toilet, what would you think? Be mortified, right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Submission is lowering yourself through humility to defeat pride. And here's the last one that we have on the list. There's many more that we could talk about, but worship, church meeting, intentional connecting to the body of Christ. Did you know that by coming here today, you are doing a spiritual discipline? You disconnected from the world, hopefully. Hopefully you don't have your phone on, you're browsing it. That would not be worship. That would be the opposite. You'd be connecting to the world. Intentionally disconnecting from the world in order to connect with the body of Christ, understanding that that is God's desire, and that's how he wants to change the world today, is through the church, that we are to continue the ministry of Jesus today. And so when we gather together, we have worship, we have discipleship, we have evangelism, we have fellowship, we have ministry that happens. All these things happen. And that's all a part of being the body of Christ. And every time you engage and connect to that, you are growing spiritually. Are you with me? Do you agree with these things? Any questions? We don't have time. You can ask me later. What do you see as the common root of all the things that we just talked about? Is there a common word that kind of stuck out to you?
Time?
Yeah. Yeah. The word intentional, I think, is a word that sticks out to me. This isn't accidental spiritual disciplines. These are intentional. Some of them happen by accident. You may be praying because you almost got an accident, so you just start praying. But actually diving into intentional prayer. If you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, it is so very possible. But you need to be intentional. You need to take it seriously. And you need to value Jesus enough to pursue him. Okay? Now, how many of you feel like this? Right? If you do, it's okay. Feel like a gnat? Feel a little tired? It's because you just did spiritual discipline. By being here this morning, by listening to the Word of God, by worship and celebrating and praying, you are currently working out your heart for Jesus. And that's why Scripture says, let's not stop meeting together like other people have. Let's not forget that by getting together, it's so important. Let's not be these kind of Christians who are doing just enough. You can be saved doing just enough, but you're not going to change the world. And I'm going to say that we're not going to see some of our biggest prayers answered if we're just doing the minimum. I told you that I work out earlier, and I have a specific workout that I do. It's something that I created. The book is going to come out soon. It's called the BTN workout. Everybody say BTN with me. BTN. It's the BTN workout. And I do it 3-4 days a week. And I'm pretty consistent with that. And I have a sore muscle to tell you. What does BTN mean? Better than nothing. Better than nothing. Yeah, that's the workout that I do. It's enough to keep me going. It's enough to keep me in some sort of shape. It's enough to keep me from just, you know, falling apart, especially with MS. It is something you have to be active and intentional on. Is your Christian walk? Are you doing the BTN, spiritual discipline life? Are you doing the minimum? Is your prayer life just occasional? Is it just you throwing requests? Are you diving deeper? Are you studying God's word? Are you celebrating? Are you confessing? Are you building fellowship? Are you taking time to get away just to be with Jesus? Are you doing these things? If you're not, then you're just getting by. And it's important that we talk about this. As a church, we should talk about it all the time. We should talk about it with one another. Back to the question, is it wrong if I cannot fast because my diet and health requires that I eat frequently? What's your answer based on what you've heard?
No?
Okay. And why is that? The discipline isn't the point. The specific thing isn't the point. What is the point? The point is, always has been, and always will be, Jesus and your relationship with him. So if your physical body is in rebellion and will not let you do a fast for 24 hours, that's okay. You don't have to fast from food. I think our culture needs to fast from... say it. Phone? Entertainment? The news? We need to fast from a lot of things that are not building our relationship with the Lord. And every time we'd be tempted to turn those things on or tune into those things or to consume those things, we say, no, I'm going to consume Christ. The point is always Jesus, knowing, connecting, growing and knowing and connecting over and over again with Jesus. Are you with me? Do you get it? Pretty simple, right? But yet we forget it so easily, we have to be reminded. I know even in looking at the sermon, I was like, there's things that I need to remember to practice. A year and a month ago, God was calling me and heard me tell the story. God was whispering at me that I needed to get away. And there was this whisper in my heart from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit was saying, come find me. Come find me. And I knew what that meant. That meant I needed to get away by myself, get in solitude, get out in nature, and to connect with Jesus and to worship and to seek him for an extended period of time. And I was too busy to. So I did. Well, I wasn't too busy. I made excuses, and so I did not. I didn't know that in the next month my dad would get sick and pass away and how badly I was going to need that time away with Jesus. And since I didn't have that, the consequences of that and the shallowness that I had in preparation for that caused me to suffer more than I should have. How much better it would have been to walk through that time in just a closer step with Jesus, knowing that he had strengthened me before that battle. Spiritual disciplines are all about that. Because friends, I don't know if you know, but you're going to face battles in this life. How many of you are in one right now? Yeah? You're going to face battles because you have an enemy. Physical exercise reaps rewards in strength and health for the body, but spiritual training discipline reaps rewards for the strength of the heart and your faith. Let me ask you this question. We talked a couple weeks ago. What are you building with your faith that you have? What are you doing? Where are you at? Are you progressing? Are you growing? Or are you wrapped up and entangled by the world? I was going to have this. We still have time. I need a volunteer who's young and is wearing shoes that have laces. Anybody? Come on. All right. Come on. Thanks a lot. Taylor, it's right here. It's going to be so fast, so quick and easy. All right. Sage, I'm going to need you in a second. All right. We're going to time, Tom, and you're going to run. And you're going to touch that back wall, and you come back here and give me a high five. We're going to time him. Somebody got a stopwatch. All right, you got Bethany's got it. She's a runner. Get down to give him the set go.
Set go.
Come here, Sage. All right, what do we got? What do we got?
6:30.
How much?
6:30.
All right, come here, Sage. I need to tie his shoes together for me. He's going to do that. Tie his shoes together for me. You help him out, Tom. Just move over closer to him. He have a seat there. Not, you know, it doesn't have to be permanent, but just enough to where he's going to have to struggle. Well, somebody look up Hebrews chapter 11 for me. Oh, he's going to tie his own shoes together. You supervise. Give him some advice. Give him some dad-splaining. That's how you do it, son. Hebrews chapter 11. This is bonus content. It's not in your sermon notes. All right. Ready to time him again? You give him the cue.
Set, go.
Do not fall down. All right. All right. What do we do? 11:16. Oh, man. Half the time. Good job, Tom. Thank you. Actually, Hebrews chapter 12. My bad. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily, do you know what it does? Entangles. When we don't have spiritual disciplines, we're allowing sin to entangle our lives. And we need to very, very diligently overcome that. Spiritual disciplines help us. They help us, and they do these things. They help you hear the voice of the Lord. You hear me tell stories. You hear other people tell stories about what God said to them. How do you hear the voice of the Lord? Spiritual disciplines will get you to where you hear them. Helps you know the voice of the Lord. Helps you love the Lord more and experience his love. Helps you change. You want victory over of a sin or a habit that's binding you down? Spiritual disciplines will help you change. It'll help you grow. It'll help you strengthen. It'll help you resist temptation. It will help you overcome. It'll help you endure. They will help you heal. They will help you pray. And they will help you connect. Spiritual disciplines are doorways to Jesus and to a greater relationship with him so that we're not running a race entangled by sin. Last illustration. Some pictures that make you say, aw. My wife and I at a concert went to Switchfoot. And this is my wife and I eating ice cream. Not at the concert, but sometimes recently. You say, Chris, I didn't think you did dairy. It's coconut. It's fine. This is my wife and I next to a clock. My wife and I at the village. Also my wife and I at the village. My wife and I at a place that shall not be named because Ethan may be in hearing distance. It's my wife and I at a restaurant. This is my wife and I next to a castle that I bought her. Or it may be a frozen yogurt place. It's my wife and I at our daughter's favorite restaurant bragging that we're eating there and she's not. This is my wife and I by the sunset. This is my wife and I at a beach by the sunset. Date your spouse. Why? You've already committed to love each other. But love isn't just a one-time thing. And when you first connect in love, it should never stop growing deeper. Your relationship with your spouse is something that Scripture talks about as a comparison for God's relationship, Jesus and the church. It's meant to grow deeply profound and connected. Now you're looking at all this question, all those pictures, and you probably have a question like, well, you know, what happens next? You go to all these great places. I'll tell you what happens next. 9 times out of 10, this happens next. We go to Costco. That's right. Yeah. Curtis and Lori know this. We talked to them about Costco. I don't know why, but we're on a date, and we go out together, and we get away from life as normal. We go out, and we eat, and we talk. For some reason, we almost always go to Costco because it's a good place to go. And you can browse Costco, and you can get things you need, but you can also get a whole lot of stuff you don't need, and not just a little bit of it, a lot of it. But the point isn't that our date ended up at shopping. The point was that we spent time together, whether we felt like we needed to or not. Do you get it? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when, say it with me, you seek me with all your heart. Friends, spiritual disciplines are a way of disconnecting our hearts from everything that this world does so that we can plunge them into what God has done for us. Spiritual disciplines, it's not the should, it's the can. I can connect with the Lord of all, the Savior of my soul, the King of all kings, my greatest friend. The question that was going on in this question asked about fasting was, am I doing something wrong? Should I be doing something right? That's not the question. It's a reality that you can connect to the Lord, and there's many, many ways that you can do that. Plunge into your relationship with the Lord, because there is an enemy, friends. If you don't know that, then you need to know. The God of this age is trying to blind the hearts of all. The enemy will try to distract you, discourage you, defeat any attempts that you make at growing in your relationship with Jesus. So if you pray and you can't pray because you're distracted and things are happening, yeah, this is what you do. Remind the devil that you'd rather hang out with the winner because he's the loser. Jesus wins. He wins, he wins, he wins. And so we rejoice in what God has done. The enemy will try to distract you, discourage you, and to defeat any attempts. You need to know that, and you need to be ready for that. So as you read these disciplines, as you take them home with you, I want you to try each of them, experiment, grow in your relationship with the Lord, ask questions if you need to. Help me, Chris. Help me know how to do this better. I've tried them all, at least some, so I can at least give you a little bit of advice, and I know there's others who can as well. But remember that the Christian life isn't always easy because there is an enemy. So sometimes the Christian life is like this. I just love this. It has its ups and it has its downs. It has its times where you're growing really close and it has its times where it's just chaotic, and it's all good as long as we continue to press closer to the Lord. So this is the reality. Jesus wins. He wins, he wins, he wins. We get to share in his goodness and his glory, his victory forever. And so that's the question. Are you happy about that? Are you excited about this? I've ended with this slide over and over again. Let's be ready. We are coming to the end times. We know that to be true. The Lord is coming soon. And whatever that means, we need to be ready. And so what are you doing now so that you know his voice already? Jesus wins. All right? Build that for today. Let's pray. Let's pray this together. Abba, Father, we say yes. I say it again, yes. To your gift of salvation, I say yes. To your Holy Spirit, I say yes to growing to know you more. I say yes to using my life to bless others. I say yes to the call you have for me, even if it is not what I expect. Father, forgive me and give me a spirit of willingness to follow you. Give me special moments of treasure time with you. What does that mean? That means spiritual disciplines where they work and I connect and I grow. Give me your courage, but also please give me your forgiveness when I fail. Help me to say yes to your church and take steps to love those who are around me. And in all this, may the kingdom of God come in increasingly beautiful ways.